The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, it's that time of the week
when
we do a segment that I like to call Ask Metaxas. It's where you submit questions, which is to say you ask, and I play the role of Metaxas. I answer. So, Albin,
yeah,
what's the first question?
Oh, we got some fun ones here. First question, wig or real hair?
Is this a wig or is it my real hair? Could be a little bit of both. Could be a weave. Could be a lot of things. My goal is to have it look like I am bewigged, even though it's mainly my real hair. But I want people to think that's obviously a wig.
I was thinking plugs. But...
And the reality is it's my real hair. Oh. But most people don't know that. They would just look at it and they go like, yeah, that's clearly a cheap synthetic wig he picked up on the way to the studio. But no, it is my real hair. I just style it in such a way as to confuse people deliberately. Okay, next question.
Question two. Vacation time, cabin in the woods, house on the beach, cruise ship, or sensory deprivation tank?
Okay, I would rather die than go on a cruise ship. So let's just say that for starters. cabin in the woods, house on the beach. House on the beach, definitely. Suzanne and I love the beach. And we spend many parts of many summers in the Hamptons and stuff. But there's something, and also on the Jersey Shore, something about the beach which appeals to us. And how nice that I married a woman who actually, here's the funny thing, Suzanne. This is why marriage can be so great. Suzanne really trained me to understand the beach, to say why the beach is great, because I didn't used to do the beach until we got married. And she's like, well, you got to do the beach right. You got to have the chairs, you got to have the umbrella. I didn't get that. I was just like an idiot. I'd wander down like with a towel and be like, why am I here? Suzanne helped me to understand this. So it's because of Suzanne, really, that I'm a beach guy.
Yeah. Ann and I are cabin in the woods people.
We spit on you. No, that's...
No,
Actually, I like cabins in the woods, too. I didn't want to get into that, but yes.
I saw a lot of pictures of you and Suzanne and the young daughter when I was in your place. Now, you weren't home at the time.
Right.
And I heard you coming,
skulking
so
around.
I ran out the back way. But question number three. Let's keep moving.
Oh, yeah.
I heard you were writing something new. What's it called, and when will it come out?
It's called the letter A, and I'm writing it right now.
Bingo.
And there it is. See, that was not so difficult.
Not hard.
Everybody can be a writer. Actually, that's just what I wrote right now was the letter A. But what I have been writing is a book called Letter to the American Church. It will be out in September, which is lightning speed for publishers, considering the book is barely done. But it's a letter to the American Church. It's pretty serious, folks. It's pretty serious stuff. But it's a very short book. And thanks for asking.
Okay. About a month back, you mentioned you were working on a TV show. What's happening with that project?
That show is a reboot of Sanford and Son, and it's not going anywhere. Nobody buys me as Lamont. And I said, what about Fred? They said, we don't buy you as Fred either. I said, what about Bubba? What about Grady? I just want to play one of the... Nobody's buying it. And so I don't know what's going to happen with that. We're working on another project, actually, to do a late night talk show, and that where is that? We're probably going to be shooting five more shows at the end of June for that. That's the talk show with Eric Metaxas, kind of like a Johnny Carson show. So that's a long story, but that is happening, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah. You've written three biographies. How did you get started writing biographies instead of something like novels?
Because I had to pay the rent, Charlie. Oh. I never wanted to write biographies, but in 2006, somebody emailed me and said, "Hey, Eric, we really like your writing. We've read your writing in Books and Culture, which was a spinoff related to Christianity Today, and how would you like to write a biography about William Wilberforce? There's a movie coming out called Amazing Grace. Would you like to write a biography?" And I thought, what? I don't know. I've never thought of writing a biography. But long story short, I wrote it. I felt that it allowed me to exercise my literary gifts, and I really enjoyed it. And I thought, maybe I'll write another biography, maybe. And, of course, I wrote Bonhoeffer, and then I didn't think I'd ever write another biography after that, and I wrote Luther. I'm guessing I won't write more, but I will say that I'm very, very proud of the work I did in those books. I think that they're fun to read. I think that the characters they talk about, the subjects, are very important, seminal figures. And so I think that I'm very glad that I wrote them. But also, in retrospect, I see God directed me, because when you tell these stories, you help people see how their lives can be. You really inspire people. And it's not like I was thinking of that when I wrote the first one or even the second one. I just thought, well, these are good stories to tell. They're true. But I think that they're inspiring. So I hope I answered that question.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a Bonhoeffer movie that's being...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe coming up here one of these days. Okay, here's another question. Do you have a favorite verse from the Bible?
Oh, that's very easy. My favorite verse is, "God helps those who help themselves." Do you know where that's from?
Yeah, yeah. Second Opinions.
It's right out of Second Opinions. I think it's in the... early in the first chapter of Second Opinions, right out of the Bible. God mm-hmm. helps those who help themselves.
Second Opinions.
Actually,
2A.
We're kidding. We're yeah, kidding. We know that's not in the Bible. I made that up. Although I do write about that in one of my books. I think my book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About God, We're Afraid to Ask, the Jesus edition, or Everything Else You Want to Know. I write about where people get the idea that God helps those who help themselves is out of the Bible. It's not. One of my favorite verses is "Be anxious for nothing,
yeah,
but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request." And I say that because it's very tempting to be anxious. There's a lot of good reasons to be anxious. But then God says, wrong. There is no reason for you. You need to carry your anxiety to me immediately in prayer. Ask me to deal with it. Give it to me. That's very important to me, that scripture. And also Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord, call according to his purpose. The idea that everything, every bad thing, if you give it to God and if you're walking with God, he will weave it together so that it works together for good. That's, you know, what the Bible says. It's not just kind of like a nice idea. It's true.
Yeah.
And so when we take God seriously and walk with him, we walk in these things. So probably those two, if I had to pick them out of a hat. Yeah.
Mine is, "I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And I actually want to have that on my tombstone 30 years from now.
Wait a minute. Where is that from?
That's John, 14? I forget.
Oh, of
yeah.
course.
Yeah, when Jesus is actually speaking to the Father during the prayer.
Say that again.
John, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And I think it's John 17:4.
Wow.
Yeah, when Jesus is
yeah.
at
what do they call
the
that?
Last
the
supper.
High priestly prayer or something?
Yeah,
like
right.
That?
It's a whole
know.
Chapter is that, and it's 17:4, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
John 17:4.
That's great.
I better know it before 30 years from now, and they're carving it on my stone.
Yeah, I think you may have to live
okay.
longer than that.
Here we go. What were your favorite TV shows growing up?
Oh, I don't know. The Dean Martin roasts, probably. Carol Burnett, All in the Family. There were a lot.
Yeah.
But those would be the ones that would pop right out of my head if you asked me that question, which you just did. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm younger than you. No, I'm older than you. My favorite was the Dick Van Dyke Show. I always wanted to be a comedy writer. Dick Van Dyke, you know, in the Dick Van Dyke Show, and marry my beautiful wife, which I did. And you are my Alan Brady right there.
Wait a minute. You look more like Alan Brady than I do.
Well, that's the problem. Mel Cooley. I look more like Mel, the producer.
Oh, you know what? Of
the
course.
Producer, Mel Cooley.
Of
which
course.
I'm an amalgam. Let's put it that way.
You're an amalgam.
That's me.
Unbelievable.
One last question. What's in the coffee cup you occasionally sip out of on the air?
I'll give you a hint.
Tequila.
Tequila.
No.
Tequila.
This is a Christian show.
You know what? Christians drink tequila. It's just Christian tequila.
It's prop water.
No, this is called agua. Agua.
I think
well,
that's
that was
it.
Easy. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in.
And watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud in history. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film called 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by Salem Media Group. With research from truethevote.org, 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance tapes. You'll see how we tracked their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie and decide for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules in advance on May 2nd or May 4th. To see the movie in the theater, you must buy tickets in advance at 2000mules.com. Tickets are not available at local theaters. You can also attend a virtual premiere on May 7th, including a Q&A with Dinesh D'Souza. Buy tickets for the virtual premiere at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back. I am still talking to Nick Giordano, who is a poli-sci professor at Suffolk Community College. It really is wonderful to know that you're a poli-sci professor at Suffolk Community College and that people can get this in an academic environment, what you're talking about, because this is basic American principles, philosophy. It's basic stuff. Some people say, well, it's conservative. No, not really. It's kind of fundamental.
It is. And I think that's probably the biggest problem that we're seeing. So it used to be Republicans and Democrats had disagreements on policy issues, but we always agreed on the founding of the country and the founding fathers, and we valued the Constitution. That's all gone. I mean, now when you look at it, the left just despises the founding of this country. They believe it's an evil country. It's a racist country. I mean, they are treating today's generation as like the most racist and bigoted generation to exist. Meanwhile, they're the most open and tolerant generation to exist. And so what they're doing is if you destroy the idea of the United States, then it's easy to change the United States. And that's what they're looking to do.
That's exactly right. And it seems, I mean, I say this all the time, but there are a lot of people who still live in this weird world where they think it's the Democratic Party of, you know, Paul Zangas or Richard Gephardt or Sam Nunn, or I don't know what they think, but the Democratic Party has just lurched so dramatically left. It may as well be the party of, you know, Stalin and Lenin. It is no longer a genuine American party.
Well, did you ever think that you'd get to a point where you would actually miss Clinton Democrats?
Well, that's exactly the point is that Bill Clinton, you know, you could go all the way back to JFK. Even though many people, as you say, we would have had disagreements on this and on that, but my goodness, never on the fundamentals, never on the greatness of America, on the greatness of our founders and that generation. But that has changed. And I think to me, the wake-up call. I have a book coming out in a few months called Letter to the American Church, because I think many in the Christian world have utterly missed the fact that the world has changed so much. If we don't address this, we're abdicating a fundamental responsibility. In other words, if you want to pretend like it's 1985, like, hey, it doesn't really matter who you vote for. Yeah, it's complicated. It has become dramatically less complicated. You now have people that hate America, that seem to have an animus against people of faith. In other words, we're not making that up. This is now a dramatic animus against people of faith, against biblical principles, and they are demonizing those people. It's not that like we're having a principled disagreement, but they are working hard, as you put it before. They're sort of weaponizing government agencies to demonize people, and you have to stand against it. You have to fight against it because it's a new day. It's no longer 1990 or 1980. It's dramatically different.
And to a certain degree, I think the churches are actually complicit in what's going on.
Because no, there's no question. That's my implication.
They didn't fight like you just stated, but more importantly, there used to be a difference. So a church's job is to preach the moral principles, help your neighbors, help those that are less fortunate. Well, the church, if you listen to this pope, he talks about how government should be doing this. Essentially, government should become socialist and government should provide for all the people and everything, rather than people doing it from the goodness of their heart because they want to be a good Christian. When you look at the churches, they didn't fight for the children during the coronavirus. They were very quiet. They didn't push back that their doors were shut and their parishioners couldn't go to church. So to me, they're part of a problem that exists. And that's where we as a people come in, that we got to speak to our priests. We got to speak to those in leadership within the church and tell them, hey, whose side are you on? Who are you going to fight for? Because what's being pushed out there is not the America I grew up in and I know. I mean, I grew up, during the Reagan administration and throughout the 90s. We were making good progress as a country. JFK and Bill Clinton wouldn't be allowed in the Democrat Party today. That's how far left it's gone. And the lack of common sense is non-existent. There's no sense of urgency amongst those in the political class to try and fix these problems. But if we continue to take this hands-off approach, because Americans are good at that. We take a laissez-faire approach to government. We just want government to stay out of our lives, and we want to just provide for our families. But the laissez-faire affair hasn't really worked. I mean, even down, I'm looking at school board results, and in districts where you have 200,000 people living, 10,000 people voted. And that's simply, you want to know why the schools are bad, it's because 10,000 people voted in a school board election. That's the problem. We don't get involved the way we should. We don't raise our voices. Now, again, things are changing. People are mad. People are angry. People are upset. When you screw with people's personal economies and they struggle to put food on the table, now they're going to get involved. Now they're going to speak up. They're going to get active. And it's incumbent on Republicans to say, hey, here is where we stand. Here are our core principles, and here is what we're going to fight for. And I'm still waiting for that message from a lot of Republicans.
Well, from a lot of Republicans, and as you said, from a lot of church leaders, our friend John Zmirak, who's on the program usually once a week, he's the one saying that, my goodness, these three vaccines, quote unquote, were made because of abortions. That's not really arguable. You would think that the Catholic bishops would say, that any church leaders would say, but specifically in the Catholic Church, obviously against abortion, that they would say, well, you have an exemption. You have a religious exemption. They refused to do that. They didn't give religious exemptions. And I thought to myself, wow, that is kind of astonishing that they would turn a blind eye to something that is benefited from abortion, that they wouldn't even give the respect to the parishioners who would have a problem with that and say, well, if you have a problem with that, in other words, maybe they could pastorally advise and say, well, we don't think you should have a problem with that. But instead, they just said, we're not even going to give you a religious exemption if you want one. You can lose your job. We don't care. The church will not stand up for you. That is amazing.
And you had certain priests that did go rogue and were issuing the exemptions. But that's the crazy part, that we would say that they had to go rogue to actually do that. And this is the crazy part of America today. Like, when are we going to destroy someone's livelihood because they don't want to put something into their body that they fundamentally disagree with for a virus that for some it is deadly. For those over 70 is deadly. But for someone as young as 8 years old, well, no, it's not deadly. Let's be honest about that. But if you say that, you'll get the little truth marker and, you know, the false information, misleading information. It'll now get flagged up to the Disinformation Governance Board.
Yeah, it is amazing. But as we say, there are people waking up, and I'm just glad that you – how often do you do your podcast, by the way?
Twice a week I do, two episodes a week. One will focus solely on the issues, and I think it's important to talk about the issues, what Americans can do. And the reason I'm successful in the classroom is because I don't sit there and I don't indoctrinate my students. My students know when they come to the class, whether they're left, right, center, or they just don't care because there are some that have their heads buried in the sand. They're the happiest people out of everyone. There are those that they could say what they want in my class. They're going to be challenged. I'm going to push back on them.
Yeah.
Because that's my job, to get them to help craft their arguments and show stronger evidence to prove their point. But it's not my job to indoctrinate. Unfortunately, there's been too much indoctrinating and brainwashing going on.
Well, I mean, isn't that the whole idea? If you're any kind of an American, if you're any kind of a Christian, you believe in truth, and you believe in the idea that we don't – truth and propaganda don't mix. If I teach you to think openly, freely, fearlessly, it will lead you to truth. So I don't need to use propaganda. I don't need to bully you. I can teach you to think and to help you to find for yourself what is true. And that's, of course, when you see in the cancel culture, there are people that are afraid of – truth, they're afraid of free inquiry, they're afraid of free speech. Why? Because I think that they have an innate sense that it will lead away from what they're pushing.
Yeah, and listen, we could accept truth, we could reject it. But whether we accept it or reject it, it's not going to change that truth is truth. I mean, it doesn't depend on our acceptance to give it its binding force of validity, right? And I think that's the problem that we're seeing today is too many people are rejecting truth, even though it exists right in front of them.
Yes. It's kind of funny because, you know, you were talking about how we had both parties in this country agreed on the fundamentals not very long ago, and that has changed. And we now have a kind of a postmodern, really it's cultural Marxism. They do not really even believe in the idea of truth. If you don't believe in the idea of truth, if you think that logic is a patriarchal construct, you make it impossible to have any kind of a conversation. You make it so it just becomes a war. It's just pure power. It's naked. It becomes a zero-sum game. We're just going to fight. We don't really care what's true. We don't believe in truth, and so we're going to push. We're going to push our ideas. We're talking to Professor Nicholas Giordano, who's a poli-sci professor at Suffolk Community College. You can find him at PASReport.com, and I recommend that you do. We'll be right back. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. Talking to Professor Nick Giordano. PASReport.com. That's how people can find you.
Yes.
And you're also on social media.
I am.
Twitter, for example, things like that.
The cesspool of social media.
Yeah. Twitter is so negative. It's just like inherently negative and snarky and unpleasant. Well, okay, so you wrote an article. I guess this is how you came to my attention. You wrote an article back in January that was published at the Gateway Pundit.
Yeah, they picked up on an interview I did.
Okay. Oh, I see. By destroying democracy, we can actually save it. The left's logic after stealing the 2020 election. So it's not debatable to me. I've looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. We had something unprecedented and evil happen in America. A presidential election was stolen from who? Not from Trump, from we the people. That is not something that I think can go unaddressed. If you find out that, you know what, the car was stolen, and by the way, we know who stole it and we know where it is, you wouldn't say, ah, listen, let him have it. He probably needs it more than I do. You'd say, no, that's bad. We cannot allow that to happen. And it seems to me that, as I say, I think people are waking up. The more people who see 2,000 mules, the more people who realize, you know what, I get it now. I didn't get it. I didn't want to think about it. Now I get it. And now what are we going to do about it? So I think good things are happening. Information, things are coming out. People like Doug Mastriano, won the GOP primary to run for governor in Pennsylvania. All around the country, there is movement. So I am cautiously optimistic.
There is. And, when we look at the 2020 elections, it's actually rather bizarre because, listen, any type of fraud in elections is very complicated. And President Trump pretty much had to make a case within a 2 to 3 week period, especially to win over hearts and minds. You don't only have the courts, but you have to win the case amongst the public as well. And for election fraud, it's extraordinarily complicated. Why the Democrats, if they felt that there was nothing wrong in this election cycle, why they wouldn't just say, you know what, we're going to do a forensic audit throughout every one of the states, and we're going to show you that no fraud happened. Well, just do it, and then there's no fraud. Everyone's arguments go out the window. Instead, you're a domestic terrorist. You're not allowed to speak about the 2020 election. Keep your mouth shut. You're an insurrectionist, and that's the labels you'll get if you bring up any questions about the 2020 election. Well, Americans need to have faith in their election process. Now, Republicans, on the other hand, created a problem when they said, it's all rigged. What's the point of going out and voting? No. If you don't vote, you know what you're going to get. So the point is, not only do you go out and vote, you got to vote in overwhelming numbers to take care of the fraud that's going to take place, to overcome that fraud. And that's my message to everyone out there. Get out there. Get active. Get involved. Go vote. Take your friends to vote. The Democrats have a machine when it comes to voting. We have to be able to surge in numbers in order to start winning these elections. Now, I do think that there is going to be a red wave this year. I think all indicators are that there'll be a red wave. But 2023, we got to start preparing for the 2024 elections. You can't just sit there and wait. I was warning about the 2020 elections in September. I was raising the alarm bells. All these mail-in ballots are going out. There's no checks in the system whatsoever. And you had this like unholy alliance of government bureaucrats, left-wing groups, the tech sector, all converging together. I don't even have to go down the fraud path to question the election. I could just look at what they did to the New York Post and the Hunter Biden story.
That's the most dramatic example to me. In other words, I've always known that, people in the world of journalism are on the left. But the level of evil to have, on the eve of an election, something that I think – I can't think of anything more important than the idea of the adult son of a president potentially being blackmailed by our enemies, getting money from our enemies. In other words, it's a level of scandal that it makes Watergate look like less than nothing. It's not like people say, is it worse than Watergate? 1,000 times worse than Watergate. When they spiked that unilaterally and said it's Russian disinformation, it's kind of like that's the moment you know how evil the other side is. Because a lot of times you want to say, well, we disagree. But that was an unprecedented moment in American history.
Not only that, the Hunter Biden story goes far deeper than anyone's talking about. So when we look at Hunter Biden and what he was doing, he's a foreign intelligence asset that every single intelligence community around the world wants to get their hands on. There's no doubt that our CIA is aware that everyone wants to get their hands on Hunter Biden. And so what did they know what he was doing? And that's what I wonder. I think this thing goes deep, and yet it was silence. You had former retired members of the intelligence community sign a letter saying it was Russian disinformation, when the truth was, no, it's real. Crimes most likely were committed just from the information that we know of. And this is Hunter's own words. It's not like we're relying on third-hand sources or anything.
Right.
This is his own words, his own bills, his own bank accounts. I mean, who shares a bank account with their child as Vice President of the United States, and you're sitting there paying his bills? It's insanity to me.
No, it is insanity. This is what I'm saying. Is like, I think that there's a lot moving along as we're sitting here having this conversation, whether we're talking about, you know, the Durham report, whether there are a number of things and investigations moving along silently. The leak at the Supreme Court, the Roe v. Wade leak. I mean, this is the kind of thing people should go to jail for this. This is absolutely astonishing. And so I am, as I say, cautiously optimistic. It's in God's hands. We need to act and pray. Great to get to know you, Professor Nicholas Giordano, PASReport.com. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on here. It was a pleasure talking to you.
We'll do it again.
What it is that holds your life so close to mine.
Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here. I know you know how much I love Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Well, Mike Lindell and MyPillow right now are offering a BOGO extravaganza. BOGO, buy one, get one. BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who've changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, you get the buy one, get one free special. MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance My Pillows, the six-piece towel sets, and the roll-and-go anywhere My Pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code ERIC. That's the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free. You won't believe it. It's amazing. 800-978-3057 or MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC.
Hey there, folks. I'm Eric Metaxas, and it's that time in the week when we get to talk to our business genius friends, Pete and Seth Talbot of the Talbot Group. Actually, today we're launching like a new mini series on 10 business questions being asked today. And the first question, a lot of business owners struggle to keep the ball rolling year after year. And today I'm just talking with Seth Talbot, your dad, Pete. I don't know, he's hang gliding or something. I don't know where he is today. But the question is, the first question in our series is it true, this is for business folks, is it true that what got you here won't get you there? Good question.
That actually was my first executive book that I read. It's a great book. And the thing that struck me about it was that with success, what we found is that business owners develop a formula. And that formula, the further in success they get, they kind of lock in harder and harder. And what this book basically suggests is that that formula has some problems with it. But because the older you get and the more kind of set in your ways that that worked for you, you kind of harden in on the stuff that worked and the stuff that didn't. And so part of what we want to do when we look at any sort of company that starts to stall out is look at what lessons you've learned that actually are holding you back from moving forward. We found with one of our companies that we were kind of – it was a steady growth company, wasn't explosive growth. With Relief Factor, we had more than 100% growth every year. But with one of our other companies, it was much, much, much lower than that. And the team that worked on the slower growth company had a harder time adapting to the rapid growth. And this was quite a number of years ago. And we realized that some of those lessons of planning for slower growth really held us back. And so one of the things that we do with the companies we work with is start to kind of deconstruct what are some of their business assumptions about how they conduct, how they hire, how they plan, what is part of their strategic plan, what are they doing for marketing, what are the things that worked. You know, for instance, they'll a lot of times write off a type of marketing or sales tactic that didn't work quite a number of years ago. And we ran into this where we were doing certain kinds of digital marketing, but it was such a long time ago that specific tools weren't available. And so when we had a new offering and a new approach, different marketing approaches that previously failed actually succeeded. But they had built that in as like, oh, no, this kind of thing doesn't work. And so one of the things that we like to do is to challenge the assumptions of people that have found some moderate success to say like, okay, what do we need to revisit and what do we need to rechallenge?
It's fascinating because these business principles, obviously Talbot Group is – and by the way, folks, you can go to talbotgroup.com. But what you do with regard to business, it goes across the spectrum in life. In other words, these are things that yeah. It's human nature to find something that works and then to double down. It's like we figured it out and to go yeah. with it. And that might work for a long time, but at some point circumstances might change, at which point the wise thing to do would be able to say, oh, okay, well, we have to change this now. But that's not human nature, right? Human nature is just to keep going no. until nothing's working and then to reach out to somebody like Pete and Seth Talbot and say, hey, what happened? Yeah. What happened to us?
Well, the thing is being an entrepreneur means you're essentially signing up to do something you're not qualified for, usually. I mean, that's the way that I felt throughout my career. Is so you feel like you're always over your skis a bit. And the companies that we partner with, the common theme is that they've been very scrappy, hardworking, very smart, but they always feel like they are having to compensate for areas of inadequacy and they're desperate for help. And so what that can do sometimes is it can crystallize that stubbornness out of survival. I had an employee one time, we were negotiating a contract, and he was surprised by how hard I was pushing on this contract because he just was a more relational guy and a little bit easier going and a little bit more of a chill personality than me. And I said, the reason why I don't blink about this is that I'm used to not thinking I might survive in business. I'm used to having to make those decisions that felt like survival decisions. And so you kind of can crystallize on some stubbornness and some hard lessons that you just have to kind of double down on. And I find that very common with entrepreneurs that have grown their business and it feels a little shaky. It's a little bit crazy growth and they don't know what to do. And they're like, this is what I know. This is what I know and this is what I got to do because this is what got me here. And they're afraid to try something else because they feel so terrified because they're a little bit, and we all feel this way. So this is common. We all feel a little over our skis and a little unqualified, especially when we succeed, which is the ironic part is success starts to make us potentially feel faker and faker because we're like, how did this happen?
Right.
And you know how many gaps you have in your skill set.
I love this fact that this applies to all of life. This in particular, that it is just human nature to say, I know this works and I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to, you know, make sure that I'm doing it. I mean, you could say this to an athlete, right? An athlete who has a move or who has a thing.
Yeah.
And in a way, at some point, because you focus so much on that, the other part of you can atrophy. And at some point you may need that other
true.
Part.
So it's true, especially if you want to find new growth. You need a new perspective a lot of time. That's why people bring us in, frankly, a lot, is that they need a new perspective. And a lot of times they need that new perspective in an area that they hadn't thought about. And part of it is challenging those assumptions and deconstructing that formula that got you here, but it won't get you there.
So if people want to email the Talbot Group directly, they can do that through the website?
Yeah, go to talbottgroup.com, and you can see a little video about kind of our approach and how we work with we really partner with clients. And then on the very bottom of it, there's a little form, and it goes to me and my dad, who's in Hawaii with a really lousy hotel internet connection right now.
But he's in Hawaii. Holy cow. Okay, folks, if you have questions, talbottgroup.com, talbottgroup.com. Seth Talbot, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Eric.
Hey, folks. Oh, my goodness. Albin, before we go for the day, we've got to remind people of like five things.
Yes.
But I can only think of, actually, I could think of six things to remind people of. First thing, CSI, if you have not yet done it, we want to thank all of you. We get the emails. So many of you have been so generous that it is amazing to me, folks. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. CSI, Christian Solidarity International. It's one of the most solid organizations in existence. They bring the love of Christ all around the world. And right now they are doing this with Ukrainian refugees. I really cannot begin to tell you what it would be like to experience the suffering, to be kicked out of your home, to be fleeing for your life, to drag your kids with you. It's unbelievable suffering. $140. I forget the $280 is up for a month. Yes. Go to metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner, but everybody should do something. Do what you can. The phone number. Are you ready? You ready to write it down? You ready? Yeah. This is the phone number and you got to do something. So write this down. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. And
give anything. Three grand prizes. We're going to raffle off three grand prizes, any amount you give. So please go there today. MetaxasTalk.com, right at the top of the page.
Okay. I want to say also, I'm in Colorado Springs this weekend. You can go to my website. It is ericmetaxas.com. You got to spell Metaxas correctly. M-E-T-A-X-A-S. ericmetaxas.com. You can see my schedule. You can sign up for the newsletters. We send out, all of this stuff goes out as video. There are photographs. It's going to be photographs of me and Sean Foyt and all the whole crazy thing this weekend and whatever. So go to metaxastalk.com. And Alvin, we also ought to remind people that I am in the film 2000 Mules.
Yes.
And I think I'm obligated to say I was sent an email from Salem because it's Salem Now. You can see the film at Salem Now, that anybody who's in the film, which I am, gets a percentage of the film. Now, it's so minuscule that it seems preposterous to me that I would need to mention this. But they said, no, you doesn't matter. You have to mention it legally. So I'm telling you, if the film makes $1 billion, I'll be able to buy a home. For the first time in my life. Wouldn't that be nice to own something? But I live in New York right now and we just rent. But I got to tell you, the film is game changing and everybody in America has to see it. If you don't see it soon, it will go away. So I'm telling you, it's in theaters right now. If you check it out, go to 2000mules.com. You'll see the theaters. You'll see how long it's going to be in there, but you've got to do this, folks. When you see it, you'll really be a part of what's going to make it possible to change this country. Because what happened to us in the 2020 election, it can never happen again. But we all have to be very, very intentional about this. We have to know what happened. We have to tell others
what happened. It's very simple. Once you see it, you'll see for yourself. It's not exactly complicated. But, you know, there are people, they don't want to know this, or they just want to ignore it. And I'm thinking, yeah, we know why you want to ignore it. It's called theft. You want people to allow you to keep what you stole. And so you can go on stealing. That's not really the American way. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not. So, Albin, I think we're done. Oh, Socrates in the City. Go to SocratesInTheCity.com. SocratesInTheCity.com. Send a young person, anybody you know who lives in New York. It's going to be next level. Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.